So I'm going to talk to you about the first reading that we heard. As irresistible as the story of the prodigal son is, I'm going to talk to you about the first reading that we heard from the book of Joshua, about how the time of wandering has ended and the time of entering the promised land has begun, and what that means. And specifically, I want to talk about the end of murmuring, which was the way of being of those in the desert. So, I don't know, a long time ago, I was praying, and it was just like I wasn't praying for a long time. I was praying at the end of the daily office and just take a minute to pray. And I had something on my mind, and I wasn't feeling happy about something, we'll put it that way. And as I look back on it, probably while I was praying, I might even have been feeling a bit hard done by, put it that way. You know, I don't know if anybody here ever maybe feels a little bit sorry for themselves sometimes. And so I was praying, and I didn't realize maybe I was feeling a little bit sorry for myself. And this line from this poem came to mind. And it's a familiar poem for a lot, not for all, I'm sure. But the single line from the poem came to my mind, and it is this: "And miles to go before I sleep." I don't know if people know that or not. It's a poem by Robert Frost, relatively well known. And so I'm going, oh, this came to my mind. And so I thought I would look it up, since this came to me in prayer. And to summarize, the poem is about a man on a snowy day, and he's on his horse, and he's taking a journey somewhere. But on his journey, he stops and he looks at his neighbor's woods, and he goes, "Well, those look pretty cozy. I like those woods. Maybe I could just kind of, you know, delay my journey and hang out in these beautiful woods for a while." And anyway, that's the setting. But the final verse is, "The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep." And for me at that moment, it was kind of a moment of redirection. I don't know, sometimes you can kind of get into yourself a little bit, you know, get a little too absorbed with yourself. And it was kind of like, oh, the woods are lovely, i.e., in this case, the woods of your feeling you're hard done by. That'd be a nice place to rest for a while. But you have promises to keep and miles to go before you sleep. And miles to go before you sleep. There's a route ahead of you that I want you to follow. The reason I think of this is that this is the beginning of the new generation. The story is beginning of the new generation. The old generation has been for 40 years in the wilderness, wandering around more or less in circles. But this is the new generation. The old generation has died off. This is the beginning of the new generation under the leadership of Joshua, and they are clear-eyed. They have entered the promised land, and they are feeding themselves, and they are making and keeping promises. I once heard a definition in a Bible dictionary of what covenant is. It's promises readily made and faithfully kept. They have made promises. And the promises they have made, as it says here, is in circumcision and Passover. The strange thing about their ancestors is, number one, they were noted for their murmuring. Do people know that word from the King James Bible, that the Israelites were murmuring in the wilderness? Is that familiar to people? It's one of those words that actually sounds like the thing that it is, You know, you say murmur, you're going, oh, I kind of get the idea. It's kind of this low scale, constant complaining. And among the previous generation, it is rooted in a kind of sense of being hard done by, of grievance, and that God isn't doing what they asked them to do. And at the same time, despite the fact that God has been feeding them in the wilderness every day for 40 years, they have this kind of resentment at the same time. And so there's this murmuring that has been going on, sort of nonstop. So the new generation is contrasted with this kind of, I guess you could call it, a sort of self-pity. The new generation, again, is clear-eyed, as I said, is feeding itself, is making promises to God, and is not going around in circles. It's going one direction, and that is into the land of promise. And it's about to confront the citadels of evil. Evil being a real thing in the Old Testament. And the city of Jericho, which they're just about to go into, is a kind of citadel of evil. So that's good, right? They've made promises. They're going in the right direction. Their hearts are clear. They're feeding themselves. They're young. They're strong. And away they go. Except for this, something strange happens. And it's in the next verse. We can quite hear it. But it's in the next verse that will come in Joshua. And it's this. Joshua is moving forward towards Jericho to take down the citadels of evil, young, strong, full of promise, when suddenly he encounters a man. I don't know if anybody here remembers this story. Suddenly a man is standing in front of him. And the man is holding a sword. And so Joshua, who's about to go to battle with evil, has a natural question, which is this. Just for the sake of information, whose side are you on? Just, you know, might be helpful to me at this particular moment where your sword is drawn. Are you on our side, or are you on their side? I don't know if anybody remembers the answer that the guy gives. Anybody remember that? He says, you're on their side or on our side? And what does he say? His answer is no. It's not like your side or their side. His answer is no, which would nonetheless be puzzling for Joshua. The answer is no. He says, no. I am the commander of the armies of the Lord, and I am with you. Okay, so what was the problem here? Number one, we got the murmuring thing figured out, right? We know we're not supposed to be bitterly complaining. I'm not saying we shouldn't lament when things are going bad. The Bible's full of lamenting, right? We shouldn't genuinely express our grief and our pain when that happens. That's not what this murmuring is. It's just like this low-level bitterness and resentment. Okay, so number one, we know we're not supposed to be murmuring. Got that figured out. Joshua's not murmuring. Number two, we're supposed to make and keep promises. You know, circumcision and the Passover, kind of like baptism in the Eucharist for us. We make and keep our promises. We move forward to confront evil. So what's the problem? Problem is the angel seems to be implying, don't say to yourself, God is on my side. God is not on your side, Joshua. you're on God's side. And that's a very important distinction to make when you're confronting evil, because this is, I think, the way we sometimes do it. I know the way I do it. And that is, Lord, I know what you want me to do for you. I am the Energizer Bunny. Just give me the batteries. Right? I know what I want you want to do, and I know how to do it. Just give me the energy. And that no from the angel is saying, not the way it works. God is not on your side with your ideas necessarily. You need to be oriented towards being on God's side. And I think this is the difference between compliance and obedience. We can comply with things, right? God says, do this, don't do that. Obedience is a different thing. Obedience is, Lord, I will not just comply with you, I will follow you. I may not know where it's going, but I don't just expect you to give me the energy to do what I think you want. I will follow where you are leading me. The funny thing about that no, is it is, I don't know, anybody ever hear a no from God? Yeah, he provides no's in all kinds of different ways. Sometimes it's no, right? Is that right? Sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's like, I've told you no 100 times already, and now I'm just going to be quiet for a while. Ever happened to anybody? I'm just going to quit talking because you know the, you've heard it, you've heard this from me already. So I think, oh, God, isn't God supposed to be nice? Isn't he supposed to say yes to us? I mean, and there's an old Jewish saying that says, well, God is not nice. God is not your uncle. God is an earthquake. And so the no that God provides to us, we see it with this angel, the no that he provides to us is at the service of a much greater yes. And that is, I may think I know what to do for God, but God has plans which we are not currently aware of, which are infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. His no is always at the service of a much larger, almost incomprehensible yes for us. So, again, if we are going to confront evil, Jesus confronts us. Sorry, got that backwards. If we are going to confront evil and follow Jesus, we need to make sure that we are responding, not just listening to ourselves, but that we are listening to him, to where he is following. We also want to make sure that we are listening to and keeping, as Joshua said, his promises, right? That we are keeping our promises, which are in baptism and in the Eucharist. These are the promises God has made to us. These are the promises that we will keep. Because, as we know, we have promises to keep and miles to go before we sleep. It's kind of the image that came to me is, I'm not done with you yet, buddy. You got a ways to go. So, you know, follow. There's a great quote, especially when we think about confronting evil to which God has appointed us. And evil manifests itself in so many different ways, in the most horrific forms of external violence, which I know that some of us have seen firsthand, in just the kind of in less extreme ways, and even within ourselves, with our murmuring, even. We can remember what St. John Chrysostom says about keeping our promises and the effect that it has on us when we're confronting evil. And it's this. Chrysostom says about the Eucharist, let us arise like lions from this table. Not murmuring, not complaining, not refusing to follow, but energized, like lions, covered with the whole armor of God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we come before you during this season of Lent, we know your desire is to remove those things from us which are an obstacle to the fullness of life that you wish to give us. So among other things, remove from us quiet feelings of resentment, even resentment towards you, that may lead to murmuring within us. And instead, fill us with strength and clarity of vision, a desire to keep your promises, and a desire to be persistent as we follow you. May we, Lord, today arise like lions from this table. Amen.